This is music from Jim Campolongo. Welcome to The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Here am I. The guitarist opens up his Dream Dictionary, a recording featuring dreamy reflections of Jimi Hendrix, Ray Charles, Nora Jones, and Nang Nang, his sister's loathsome cat. Bassist Nilson Mata pays tribute to Black Orpheus and some of his Brazilian heroes, including guitarist Baden Powell. But first, an in-studio Juba dance with blues master and actor Guy Davis with WBGO's Michael Bourne. That's up next. This is The Checkout. Thanks for checking in.
I got a harmonica here. If I feel like improvising. WBGO WBGO Now that was improvising.
Yes. And this being radio, nobody got to see me dancing. I was just
The jetés
were amazing.
Yes, when you stood up on top of the work surface, you know, and leaped over the jacuzzi.
Yes, friends, we broadcast from a jacuzzi. Did you want to be an actor? Your father, your mother, great actors.
Michael, since the day I was born, I wanted to get up in front of people if it was to do no more than wave my diaper. I imagine that I was talented as a kid, and fortunately now I've got some skills. But my desire to be on stage had nothing to do with knowing whether I was talented or not. I just wanted to be in front of people. I'd love storytellers. I wanted to be the storyteller even before I knew any stories. So I'm glad I've been catching up with myself all my life here. So
catching up with yourself.
Yeah, being on the stage, being the musical performer, the actor, the storyteller, that's me. That's who I am.
When you were here last, that's what you were doing. You were doing essentially a blues myth.
Oh, my God. The Adventures Legend. Of Fishy Waters in Bed with the Blues.
Yeah. That was wonderful. You came in and played most of the show, I think. Live. Speaking of live, you want to play something?
Yes, I'd like to. As a matter of fact, we're going to get slightly away from the quote-unquote technical blues and go to a song. This is on my Juba Dance CD. The song is called Love Looks Good on You. And I had a wonderful experience, not just recording the song, but after it was recorded, I got to go back to Europe. The CD was recorded in Italy, but I got to go to Paris a few months later. And there's a park near the Montmartre steps. Don't know the name of the park, but there's a big concrete wall in that park, and inscribed into that concrete 1,000 times is the phrase I love you, and it is in 300 different languages, and people would go to that wall and they would touch the I love you in their language. And so there I was out in that park, and I sang this song. Knows love seemed to fit you like a fine suit of clothes. Looks good on you, you know love looks good on you. It looks good on you, ain't you glad you tried it on? Tell you what the rooster said to the hen, said come here little chickie and be my friend. It looks, you know love looks good on you. It looks good on you. You glad you tried it on? Well, you shine like the sun with a smile on your face. Feet just dancing all around the place. It looks, you know love looks.
It looks good on you. Ain't you glad you tried it on? Well, I wrote you a letter, put it in a book. 25 years was all it took. It looked good on you. Yes, love looks good on you. It looks good on you. Ain't you glad you tried it on? Like fine whiskey, 20 years old. You take one sip and you'll never be cold. It looks good on you. You know love looks. It looks good on you. Ain't you glad you tried it on? Little old couple holding hands. Grandkids grown but they're still making plans. It looks. You know love looks. It looks good on you. Ain't you glad you tried it on? Got them goo-goo eyes and you kiss with a feeling. Leap off the bed and make love on the ceiling. It looks. It looks. It looks good on you. Ain't you glad you tried it on? Well, you kiss on the ceiling, you roll on the floor. You got 19 children, all you want's one more. It looks. Love looks good on you. It looks good on you. Ain't you glad you tried it on? It looks good on you. Ain't you glad you tried it on?
One more time.
It looks good on you. Ain't you glad you tried it on?
Guy Davis. That song is on Juba Dance, but that was him live. So how many ways can you say I love you in how many languages?
Not enough.
Not enough. That's the best answer. That's brilliant.
And getting back to that piece, I know I excused it saying it's not blues, but it comes close to some of my heroes, as in Mississippi John Hurt and Elizabeth Cotton. That style of finger picking that's very gentle and it kind of rolls along. And hopefully that song, will seduce your heart like it seduced mine. And just hopefully make it a slightly more open place than it is from time to time.
So you're saying, I mean, the picking and the finger picking is romantic.
It is romantic and goes back to Piedmont style pickers who I just love. Being Mississippi John Hurt and Elizabeth Cotton, one of whom I actually got to meet back in the 1980s. And, of course, that would have to be Elizabeth Cotton because John Hurt had been dead a lot longer than that.
Yeah. It's funny, I was asking you if you wanted to be an actor when I've seen you as an actor, you know, years and years ago, playing Robert Johnson. Right?
Yeah, you did ask me, but I sensed that you were asking, you know, has this what my soul always wanted? You know, have I been driven to this? And yeah, yes it is.
Because your mother sat in front of us.
Well, there's that.
At that show. So. And if you don't know, his mother is Ruby Dee and father Ossie Davis and genetically pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, it's almost like, were you expected to be an artist?
Not by my folks necessarily. All they insisted on was that I do good work in school, get good grades, and do the best I could at whatever it was. My mom gave me the speech about, and if you're going to be a ditch digger, why don't you be head of the ditch diggers, you know, that kind of thing. I would say other people might have mixed feelings. There were times when the stage seemed like such an alien place, and I was very stiff and very uncomfortable on it. But overall, I think I've been more comfortable in a dressing room than I've been in a public school throughout my life.
There's a fourth wall when you're an actor, but there's no fourth wall when you're performing.
Well, sometimes I like to play with that wall, treat it like a malleable membrane. Boy, I wish my vocabulary teacher could see me now using these kind of words
that
on
was
radio.
Good. That was say that again.
A malleable membrane. So I like cool. to treat the fourth wall as something you can occasionally break, go through, speak to people right there, and then go back into what you're doing. And if you do it right, then the audience will enjoy what's going on despite the momentary disruption of the created reality. I heard a story, Michael, once that Al Jolson, in the middle of being on, he's in the middle of the stage and he cranks down on one knee, spreads his arms open to sing Mammy, but instead of the word Mammy, out comes the most horrendous fart you ever heard in your life. And I'd hate to have been in the first rows. And then the next words to come out of Jolie's mouth were, Jolie made a fart sola. But that's what I heard. This is some rumor I heard. But if anybody could bring it back after that and probably get a standing ovation, it would be Al Jolson.
You also have to have, you know, the malleable membrane, I like saying that. It's got to be porous enough that the feeling can come back from the audience through it to you.
Yes,
I mean it'll keep the fart out of the audience, but you know you do want to have that interplay because it really is that intimate.
Yeah, and of course we're just talking about showbiz. Otherwise, when it comes to the that which he let out into the audience,
yes, we don't do that normally.
Something else.
No. Not even when I was 3 years old on the stage for the first time, I didn't do that. Can I get you to play something alive again?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play something that is not only on the Jubadant CD, but it's on the True Blues CD. Okay. And one of the songs that I do, it's called Saturday Blues. This was written by Ishman Bracey. And Ishman is the brother to Tommy Johnson, who used to drink Sterno after straining it through a piece of white bread. So don't ever let anybody tell you that white bread isn't good for anything. Won't you tell me, Mama, do you think it's right you with your kid all day and run to me at night with your kid all day and run to me at night? With your kid all day and run to me at night. Well, my regular woman stole my pocket change and my sometime woman want to do the same. Better not let my angel catch you here. Don't let her catch you, cause she ain't no angel when she catch you. Well, you better not let my angel catch you here. Well, there ain't no telling what to she might do, Lord. She might cut you, she might shoot you too. Ain't no telling, honey, what she might do. Well, she might cut you, she might shoot you too. Well, the meanest woman that I ever seen, Lord, I asked for water, she bring me gasoline. I asked her for water, she bring me gasoline. At these prices, you know. Well, I asked for water, she bring me gasoline. If you want your woman to look like the rest, just buy some high brown powder, Palmer Skin Success. High brown powder, Palmer Skin Success. It's a black thing, you don't all have to know about that. Buy some high brown powder, Palmer's Skin Success.
I got 4-5 puppies and one shaggy hound. It takes all them dogs to run my women down. It take all them dogs, honey, to run all my women down. In my dream, that's where it happens, Michael. It take all them dogs to run my women down. Won't you tell me, baby, do you think it right? You with your kid all day and run to me at night. Kid all day and run to me at night. With your kid all day and run to me at night.
Guy Davis, the Saturday Blues is indeed on Juba Dance. You talked about the rhythm of that song, saying that you can't really figure it out with trigonometry. You have to think about it as like you're cutting grass.
Yes.
Yes. But you know, if you're talking about cutting grass with a scythe, and you have to step, pull back, pull. If you don't do it right, you cut your foot off.
Yeah, this song, it's a work song, and it's not meant for the faint of heart or those who have problems following directions.
That one lyric in there that I always thought was a Howlin' Wolf lyric, but it's I asked for water and she brought me gasoline. I've heard that show up in so many songs. It's got to be the definitively nastiest blues lyric ever. Is there anything worse?
Well, if she offers you a cigarette and to light it after that, it's the only thing I can think of being worse.
I never thought of it that way.
A good way to cut down smoking. You pour water and you
explode, yeah. Well, while we catch your breath, let's play something else from your record. I always like when harmonica cats, as I tend to call you, show up. I like those numbers. I was talking about Sonny Terry before. There's something about, I don't know if you call it anything special, but there's something about when a harmonica player just goes nuts. Do you ever do that?
I wish I was skilled enough to truly go nuts.
Like Sonny Terry was just,
Was. Me, I'm an entertainer, and I can interpret a lot of that, but to truly go nuts means you've got faith in your ability, and you're not sitting there all scared about hitting the wrong notes.
Yeah, he inhaled the harmonica.
Yeah, inhale it, exhale it.
I mean, it was, Well, I'm not asking you necessarily to go nuts. I'm asking you to go guy.
Well, okay, let's see if we can, I've actually got a piece of music on both the True Blues CD and my Juba Dance CD called Did You See My Baby, inspired by Sonny Terry. Did you see my baby go? Did you see my honey go? Did you see my mama go? Did you see my sweetie go? Honey went, baby went, mama went, sweetie went, baby went. Walking a riding? Was she walking a riding? Was she walking a riding? Was she walking a riding? She was walking, riding, walking, riding. Thank you.
They should bring me water. They should bring me whiskey. They should bring me water. They should bring me whiskey. Water. Whiskey. Water. Whiskey. Ooh. Did you see my baby go? Did you see my honey go? Did you see my mama go? Did you see my sweetie go? Baby went, honey went, mama went, sweetie went, baby went.
Did you see my baby? Performed by Guy Davis in WBGO Studio with Michael Bourne. That music can be found on Guy Davis's recording, Juba Dance, featuring Fabrizio Poggi. Coming up next, Nilson Mata joins WBGO's Awilda Rivera to talk about some of his Brazilian heroes, Baden Powell, Hermeto Pascoal, and more. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
The blues, nobody knows. Love seemed to fit you like a fine suit of clothes. Looks good on you. Love looks good on you. Looks good on you. Ain't you glad you tried it on? Tell you what the rooster said to the hen. Said, come here little chickie and be my friend. It looks good on you.
In-demand Grammy nominee, master bassist Nilson Mata is well-versed in a variety of jazz styles. Nilson was born in Brazil and has lived in New York City since the mid-80s. Since then, he became one of the founding members of Trio de Paz, along with Dodugo and Romero, and has recorded with a long list of notable musicians, some of which we'll talk about. And welcome to the studios, bassist Nilson Mata, or as I love to say, Nilson Babe Mata.
Oh, finally.
Awilda, thank you. You were waiting for that, weren't you?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me here in this beautiful house.
You're welcome. It's great to have you. It's been a while.
It's kind of a sanctuary.
Let's talk for a little bit and let everybody know a little background about yourself in Brazil. Okay. Growing up in Brazil, were there musicians in the family?
Well, my mother was a piano player. My brother is a drummer.
Everybody still in Brazil plays an instrument.
we play acoustic guitar. That's why the main thing we do.
So, can you remember the first bass player that you heard, or a particular album that you heard that stood out to you?
Well, in the '50s. You put the radio on, you turn the radio on, you can listen to all kind of music. Mambos, guarachas, boleros, sambas, all kind of rhythms from Brazil, and American music, and also jazz. I was around 5-6 years old. My mother plays piano, and I told her, I like the fat sound of the piano. I said, oh, you like the bass. It's, yes, I like the bass.
Wow.
And believe it or not, the first bass line got me. It was a Ray Conniff song.
Ray Conniff.
I think
okay.
it, with the Billy Butterfield, there is a bass line. Swings a lot. It's a scale, kind of descended scale. So my father was a big fan of Louis Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Blew my mind right away.
You had the honor of working with both Baden Powell and João Gilberto, as well as many other masters from Brazil. Louis Bonfa, Chico Buarque, Johnny Elf, and Hermeto Pascoal.
Hermeto was special.
Hermeto was special.
I recorded an album with him in 1968. But before that, in 65, 66, I used to go to the nightclub. He was playing organ and piano. And I couldn't believe...
The master instrumentalist.
The chords and the harmonies. And he put them behind the... People dance with us, those beautiful harmonies, you know.
Talk a bit about your relationship with Baden Powell.
Baden came in my life in 1972. I was playing with Chico Buarque. He's a great composer. And
I got such a crush on Chico Buarque. Oh, I love
too.
Him.
You too. and
Chico, he's only kidding.
Baden came from Europe and they need a bass player for doing a little tour with him. So we end up doing 1 year together. And of course, I was completely in heaven playing with Baden. And so a lot of things.
Well, you composed a song dedicated to Baden, called Baden.
Yes, I wrote a song. First, the idea was Baden with Love, to Baden with Love.
To Baden with Love, yeah.
And then became just Baden.
That one from Trio de Passos recording with Romero Lubambo, Nilson Mata, and the Duca da Fonseca. And that's the CD called Café. You, like many artists, have drawn inspiration from a variety of sources, and Black Orpheus is one of them. Antônio Carlos Jobim's compositions for the 1957 Vinicius de Moraes Brazilian play and the 1959 film that went on to win an Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film. You know, it's amazing. It's a masterpiece, and it never gets tired.
Onde é que você tá olhando?
Cala a boca! Ele tá fazendo levantar o sol.
Never.
Never. Never. Is a, you know, is something changed the history of our music.
Exactly.
In terms of the combination of Carnaval, when Jobim and Vinicius wrote this beautiful work and changed, I think, the story of the way we play music in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
With some great compositions, and the lyrics are fantastic too.
And it almost introduced the music of Brazil to the world at large.
Yeah. You go to China, you go to Japan,
everywhere.
You go to everywhere.
Everywhere.
And they know exactly what we talk about, Black Orpheus.
Thank you.
Samba de Orfeu from Nilson Mata's Black Orpheus on Motema Music. Coming up next, Jim Campolongo's Dream Dictionary. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Jim Campolongo, thank you for joining us again on The Checkout.
Oh, thanks for having me, Josh.
Dream Dictionary. I'm sort of envisioning, like, what would a dictionary of dreams include? Like, what would be the pages? What would you be looking at?
Well, they actually exist. And I got my first dream dictionary when I was a little kid. And recently got one a couple of years ago. And I mean, it's like if you dream about drowning, let's say you could look up drowning. You know, and it gives you some kind of, explanation and some kind of dream reading. So there are dream dictionaries. I mean, to me, I'm a little skeptical because, I mean, for example, if you dream of a guitarist, an instrumental guitarist later tonight, you know, it might be because you met me and it ruins the validity of the dream dictionary. But all that said, they exist and they're fun and I refer to it once in a while.
I want to start off with a selection here, an acoustic selection, and a duo with another one of my favorite guitarists, Steve Cardenas. That's One Mean Eye, a duet with Steve Cardenas and Jim Campolongo. Dream Dictionary is the recording. One of the fundamental things that I like about your work is that you have a regular gig in town. And so your band, whatever form it takes, has an opportunity to consistently get better. Mm-hmm. And to work on things and to sort of develop its own identity. What is the identity of this core trio that you have now?
It's a visceral experience, I think, to see this group. That's its vibe, this trio. And this trio has a lot of bravado. It's about performance. It's great that we play every Monday. And yes, the music forms in front of people. It's kind of the perfect trio to have a residency. And the stuff is getting better. I mean, actually, when I recorded it, I told the guys, I said, you know, I have a feeling this material might be better in a year, but we got to do it now. Like, because I feel like those, both Chris Morrissey and Josh Dion are rising stars. And so I know we're going to play together for a long time, and I'm not trying to, you know, be so humble, like counting me out. But all that said, I felt like what we were doing at the time was really special, and I wanted to capture it.
Panic.
impressions searching my soul. Jim Campolongo joins us on the checkout. Dream Dictionary is the recording, tackling some Jimi Hendrix like any good guitarist worth his salt.
Yeah. No one knows what song it is after they hear it. I mean, you know.
Right.
And I did another interview last week, and the interviewer was like, "Are you know, he's almost like, are you kidding me? Like, you're calling this manic depression and there's no evidence of it." And I really hear the foundation of the song, and we play the melody, and we actually play the progression.
There.
It's there. Thank you. People were almost like expecting this thing, like, oh boy, Jim Campolongo is going to play a Hendrix song. Can't wait. And then they hear this.
Do they expect purity when they listen to you?
I don't know what they expect. I mean, for me to go out there and go, you know, it's like I've heard that song since I was 12. Literally. It's the first LP I ever bought in my life. Out of my paper out money was Jimi Hendrix Greatest Hits with the poster. Okay. So I've been hearing that song for 40 years. And I like the song, but I wanted to go, well, what is the sound of manic depression, first of all, and how do I hear the song? We sent it to the Hendrix estate because you have to get approval. A lot of approval for publishing just happens online. It's a no-brainer. But the Hendrix estate isn't that way. And I've heard that they're pretty hands-on. And when they first heard it, they didn't want to give us approval. And I think they were a little disappointed. It wasn't like, with all due respect, like a Stevie Ray Vaughan reading, you know, where right. It's like this very, like a...
Him doing Little Wing or something.
Yeah, him doing it, and it's like a tribute to the master or whatever, because he does it note for note. And I wrote to them, and I said, I love Hendrix, and I'm hoping that this is like his, what he did to the Star Spangled Banner. Like, he reinterpreted it, and... You know, that's a defining song. It's a statement about war. And they were ended up being really cool and said, fine, it's fine.
Depression, Jim Campolongo, Dream Dictionary.
Here am I, all alone again.
I guess we should talk about Here I Am. I mean, you've had a long association with Norah Jones, and here she comes in and does a song in one take.
That's right. You know, I wanted to do a cover. And I wasn't sure what it was, and I was going through... I mean, I always kind of wanted to do Hawaiian Wedding Song or some, like, crazy thing. Like, I've always wanted to cover that. I love that song. And some of the songs I want to cover, like, I don't think are hip or they're wrong. You know, I think I don't have a feel for it. I wanted to do a song that Norah liked, you know? And
Ray Charles is definitely in her bailiwick.
Absolutely. And, but, you know, without really thinking that, I put on this Ray album I had, and I think it was on like the Pickwick label or some like label that they sold at gas stations, these records, or gave them away if you filled your tank. And it was like Best of Ray Charles on this label, like not Dunhill, but like this label that's like second rate, you know? And I put that song on, and it just called my name. This is the song. I want to cover this with Norah, and it's a blues. This is fantastic. So I'm like, you know, this record's a little dirty. And so I got this t-shirt and I wet it, because the best way to clean a record, I think, is with a lint-free rag and water. So I took a little gentle swipe, and the record broke in half, like a 78 or something. You know, like it shouldn't have broken, and it did. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? So I went on eBay for weeks, and finally this record appeared, and it was like $5, you know what I mean? This was not, you know, a holy grail record. So I got the record and sent it to Nora. Nora really liked it, and I said, look, Nora, let's rehearse, okay? She's nice. I went over, and we played it once, and she just said, you know, I like it, but it's not Jim enough. You should make this song more Jim.
What did she mean by that?
I didn't know. And I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, you know. And she just did this, like, body language thing where she, like, was, like, moving her shoulders in this kind of strut and your stuff way. So I don't know how, but I just started playing the riff because it was kind of a swing song, like, like you'd ride your cymbal. And I ended up playing this kind of moody descending line, and she was like, yeah, that's it. So 2 weeks later, she came in, and I mean, even before the levels were really tuned in, she just nailed it on the first take. It was amazing. And she never ceases to amaze me. Really, she's really a special talent.
Sitting here thinking, sitting here thinking, well, there's nothing else to do. Let's have a ball. I've got a dollar or two. Baby, baby, I give my time to you, only you. Let's have a ball.
Jim Cambalongo, Dream Dictionary. Tell me about Nang Nang.
The title is was cat my sister, Fran, had. And this cat was an awful little cat, you know? I mean, it really was. It was kind of like the perfect name. Like, if you imagine, like, a cat that, like, filled with loathing and, you know, contempt for people, and his name was Nang Nang. You know, Nang Nang would never want to be touched. I was young at the time. I was probably not even a teenager when my sister had this cat. And I just thought it was a funny name. And so when I had this tune, you know, 40 years later, I thought, Nang Nang, yeah, that's a good name for this song. Since it's like reggae country Thelonious Monk, it just seemed like a good title.
Thank you.
Campolongo, give me some thoughts on Thelonious Monk. Who doesn't like him, first of all?
That's good. Who doesn't like him? Like, if I had a three-year-old, I would play them Thelonious Monk, because there's something like nursery rhyme about his music. And I don't know why that is. I mean, because in a sense, it's super complicated music. But then again, it sounds like Mary Had a Little Lamb. I mean, it feels like hearing that.
Do you find, Jim Campolongo, that sometimes what you want to strive for is that sort of Mary Had a Little Lamb feeling, you know, that sort of simplicity, that sort of, you know, inherent melodic statement that someone somewhere will hear you play and then kind of connect to that music?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, the song Dream Dictionary is probably based on, you know, a simple pentatonic scale. And, you know, when I'm really listening, like really listening and not trying to impress or trying to do this or trying to play over a chord change, it's like something like Mary Had a Little Lamb emerges. I mean, I think I've rewritten Mary Had a Little Lamb. The more I hear that solo version, the more I really, really feel like I did something right.
Nice coda.
Thanks.
What does it mean to live with music?
I mean, I feel really blessed. And I just liked music. I read interviews sometimes and guitar players say, oh, I learned guitar to like meet girls. And I didn't play guitar to meet anybody, really. I just started playing. So, you know, because I loved it and it helped pass the time in a way that like I could endure.
You found out that you met yourself.
Yes. But I feel really blessed and really lucky. And, you know, and again, thanks for having me. I know it's the second time I've been on your show. You're a great supporter of New York music. You know, I really appreciate it. You're a smart guy, too. I was looking forward to the interview. I knew I wouldn't have to work at all. You know, really.
Excellent. Jim Campolongo, Dream Dictionary. Thank you for joining us on The Checkout.
Thank you.
Heaven is Creepy from Jim Campolongo's Dream Dictionary. Visit the guitarist website at jimcampolongo.com. The Checkout is a podcast. Now we take a moment to ask a little favor. Please write a review on iTunes. It helps spread the word for The Checkout and helps us share this music. Also, visit our website at checkoutjazz.org. There you can stream all of our features. We're on Twitter, at checkoutjazz. Our producer is Simon Rentner. Find him on Twitter, at Simon Rentner. Special thanks to our intern, Joyce Kwan. The Checkout is a production of WBGO, Newark. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.